something's going on with their offense.
Does Florida State score more than 15 points on the road Friday night versus Duke?
He didn't leave for Bama. He dang sure ain't leaving for Florida.
Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running, broadcasting live from the Flint Media Studios here in downtown Thomasville, Georgia. This is the Southern Football Report. Kyle, thank you so much for filling in as host last week, man. You killed it.
I did my best. Man, I did my best.
Y'all did great. I've got Kyle Shaver and I've got Brian Howell. Brian, back after a week or two?
Man, good to be back. I think it's 3 weeks.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Missed the season.
Yeah. Well, the good news is I think you're still leading with our picks.
Oh, I couldn't wait to find out.
Yeah. I actually, full disclosure, I need to do a little bit of math, but I know you're in first place and I'm in last place, and Brian and Kyle are somewhere in the middle.
Okay. All right. Well, let's figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get that figured out here. This is the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. Rivertown Running now open. Great shoe store if you're looking for athletic shoes, whether that's running shoes, walking shoes. They've also got the athletic wear to go along with all of your outdoor activities, including Lululemon. And so I'm hoping to get Brian Howell in some Lululemon.
I've already got some.
You've got some.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen the men's stuff.
You wouldn't know it.
I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure it fits well.
It's comfy.
Wears well.
Rachel took me on a shopping trip one time in Destin area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, nice now bed. You don't have to go all the way to Destin. You can get it at Rivertown Running in downtown Bainbridge.
Love it.
All right, let's dive right on in. Joined here in today's episode, I am your host, Dustin Dowdy. Back on this side of the board, although I'm thinking about just switching with Kyle.
No, good job. Y'all should have seen Brian Wynn and I trying to run that board over there.
Did you get Brian Wynn to put his shirt back on?
He did. You know, I told Brian he ought to kind of hang that picture up in here somewhere. I don't know. It might be around.
He's getting in good shape.
He is. Yeah.
He ain't going to work out for nothing.
Yeah. He's going to start on everything.
Hey, my man's working hard this week at the expo.
Yeah, he is.
Wore out.
All right, let's just dive into it, boys. So as we do typically each week, we start with a little bit of a review of last week's games. Obviously, we can't go through all of them or we'd be here all night. But we can start with the big ones, right? Before we get to your favorite team, we'll start with maybe all of our least favorite team, and that is the Florida Gators going down to the wire with Tennessee, losing their starting quarterback, bringing in a freshman in the third quarter, and still that thing ended up going to overtime.
Go for two.
Yeah.
Just go for two.
That's what all the national pundits have been saying.
Like, you always
you're
go
on,
for two.
You're on the road.
You're the underdog.
You're not supposed to win. Just go for two. You got them on the ropes, like, go for two.
You know, a couple of years ago when Florida State and LSU played and it came down to the blocked extra point, do you remember that?
Yeah.
And LSU had improbably, in a lot of ways, come from behind to tie that game. Everybody, that was Brian Kelly's first game at LSU, and he goes to kick the extra point. It's blocked. Florida State wins. Everybody knew if he went for two in that situation, with the way that game was going, they were going to get it, and they were going to win the football game.
Yeah.
But if you get it, you're the hero. If you don't, you're the GOAT. So
yeah, why not tie it?
Yeah, unless it's going to get blocked.
Yeah.
And that was
he didn't see that one coming.
That wasn't the first kick blocked in that game, though. It was the second one. So, but, you know, hindsight's always 20.
But Tennessee's still struggling. I said it last week on the pod. Y'all weren't here with us, but y'all probably listened. Tennessee, something's going on with their offense. It's something
freshman
weird.
Quarterback, I think.
That, and I mentioned something last week about the specific defense that people run against them. Mm-hmm.
That was good
That's
stuff.
That's what Florida does. It's still giving them trouble. It's going to happen. We'll see if that trend continues against Alabama this week, because same style of defense, probably better athletes than Florida's got. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I just – something's going on there in Knoxville with the offense. And I know Josh Heupel's scratching his head, too.
Two straight under 20, or they broke 20 in overtime. But
right, in regulation.
Yeah, and I think the week before that, I think it was 14 last week or 2 weeks ago. And the week before that, I think it was 25. Versus Oklahoma.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
That was the week we were saying maybe Oklahoma's got something on defense.
And then they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's more Tennessee.
You know, I want to say that they're finally starting to play some, you know, like big boy football, and maybe that's why the offense is bogging down. But I mean, they did put up like 50 against NC State. Now, that's not to say that NC State's, you know.
Yeah, they've come down a little bit from what people thought of them early in the year.
Does it seem like he's slowing down and trying to protect his defense a little bit more?
I mean, I think their defense is really good.
That's what I think he's might be playing to it a little more than in the past when he knew he had to score 50.
But you see, maybe, but like, those offensive guys are going to run their offense, right? I don't think they really, at the end of the day, really care too much about, and they care about their defense, don't get me wrong, but offensive-minded coach, he just wants to score as much as possible, yeah. You know, to heck with the defense. They can stop them if they stop them, but we got to get points, you know.
Yeah.
You might be right in some of that because they have an elite defense this year.
Spoiler alert, I've got Tennessee with at least 3 losses, maybe 4 by the end of the year. I mean, looking at their schedule, they've got Bama this weekend.
Yep.
They've got Kentucky. They got Mississippi State. Then they're at Georgia. UTEP, Vandy to close the season.
Vandy, right?
Don't sleep on Vandy.
I mean, to think that they're going to lose 2 of their next 6 does not seem out of the question.
Not with what we've seen the last 3 games. You're right.
Yeah. And then, in my opinion, if they lose 3 of the next 6, which seems certainly doable with Bama, Kentucky, Georgia. You know,
are they at Kentucky?
They are at home versus Kentucky.
That helps.
And they do get a bye week between this week and the Kentucky game.
They've had some good games in the past.
Yeah.
That's a good rivalry.
That's an old rivalry.
Yeah. Speaking of Florida, though, I mean, without Graham Merckx, now it's the DJ show the rest of the way. Billy is, you know, working to save his job with a now true freshman quarterback. No, I mean, here we go. Good luck, Billy.
He did not look great coming in last week.
His first pass was an interception, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. He did not look – he looked very uncomfortable. I felt like he got comfortable going into the score, right, I think, to tie.
Yeah, yeah, I think through the game time.
Game time, touchdown. But ultimately, it was tying with the kick. But I felt like they should have ridden that momentum of that because, like, you know, a freshman quarterback, you're going to play the ups and play the downs. Keep playing the ups while you can, because as soon as they got in overtime and the momentum was gone, it was beep, 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 and that offense was backing up. And that's the last thing you want in overtime is to have your first play be a loss, second play be a loss. It was, you know, it just snowballed on him from there, and that's just going to happen with a freshman quarterback, and you might see more of that.
So Merckx is done for the year?
Yeah, torn ACL. Wow. He tore it on a scramble where I think he got the first down. And then a play or two later throws a touchdown pass and, like, limps off the field. And I thought he tore it on the touchdown pass because of the way he acted. He throws the pass.
Falls down.
He turns around, takes a step, and then falls down.
Yeah.
It was almost like it was a non-contact, twisted his knee situation.
I was watching with my sister, and she's an athletic trainer at UGA, and she said, oh, that's not good. I mean, immediately she just said, that's some kind of knee ligament, that's an Achilles, that's something to drop you with. I mean, there was nobody around him at all.
Yeah, and he's a 6-year senior. He's done, his college career's done. Probably his playing career's done. I mean, I guess there's the possibility.
For all intents and purposes, it's probably over.
Yeah.
It's probably time to see what you got in the young guy.
I think most Florida fans have been kind of hoping that DJ would take over at some point anyway, because, like, you know, like my favorite team, if we're not going to win with this 6th-year guy, let's get the freshman in there and let's lose with him, and maybe we'll be better next year.
Because if he's as good as they think, you ain't got but 2 years with it.
The worry is if you show your hand, he might get an offer to go somewhere else.
Yeah, really. Yeah. All right. So did you watch the Ohio State at Oregon game?
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
I had the remote. Was back and forth. Those games at the same time.
Yes.
One was a little bit ahead of the other. I caught the end of both of them. That was crazy.
So I have YouTube TV where you can watch 4 games at once, and that's the way to go, man, because you can say, okay, well, it's 4th down and they're going for it. Let me switch to that one. You can hear the audio, but you still have the other 3 games going at the same time.
Yeah.
Nice. And so I'm back and forth between Ohio State, Oregon, Florida, Tennessee.
Ole Miss and LSU at the same time. Ole Miss,
yeah. And then I think Kentucky and
Vandy were
and
there
Vandy
together.
Vandy were at the same time. So all 4 on
that's
the
screen.
That's what
I was watching. Yeah, I was watching that one more.
Yeah. That what do you think about the Dan Lanning penalty?
It was fun while it lasted because it's over now.
Yeah, the NCAA. Did you see that, Brian?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about it. What happened?
So Ohio State's got the ball. They're down by 1. They're driving to try to get into field goal range to win the game. They're around the 50. somewhere right in there, maybe even on the plus side of the 50. And there are 10 seconds left in the game. Lanning or Lanning staff, somebody, purposefully put a 12th man on the field on defense.
Like right before the snap.
Like right off the sidelines, just
like another cornerback or something.
Pushed him onto the field, trying to, you know, limit Ohio State's ability to get further down the field with an extra man on defense. And it worked. Ohio State was not able to convert, and it took 6 seconds off the clock.
Four.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 4 seconds off the clock.
No, six. It got him down to 4 seconds.
Got him down to 4 seconds. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
got
him
down to 4 seconds. So now they're not in field goal range. They really don't have time to run another play to get into
they
field goal
flag
range.
It?
Yeah, he took the penalty,
yep.
But it was only 5 yards.
Mm-hmm. He traded the 6 seconds for 5 yards.
So this is what Malzahn did to Saban in the Iron Bowl.
Oh, really?
Where he kept coming off sides?
No, when he ran out there in punt formation and the quarterback went to the punter spot and Saban was freaking out trying to get personnel on the field and he ended up with 12 on the field. And at that time, it was a live ball foul. So as soon as the 12th man was on the field, it was an automatic penalty.
And then the clock picked back up again and you got to use the clock, the
that was ball
play
game.
Clock again. Yeah.
He tricked him.
Oh, that's right. I remember
now
that.
Now it's a dead ball. So now it's a different type penalty.
I was wondering why they let the time continue to, you know, it seems to me like it would have been 5 yards and reset the game clock.
That's what it is, yeah.
Saban got so mad about that, they changed the rule.
And well, now they've changed this rule, too, where it lasted for 1 week. It'll always be the Dan Lanning rule now. But they were smart about it because they didn't run that guy, the 12th guy on the field till, I mean, you're talking a half a second before the play.
Wow.
So there was no way for Ohio State to see it. There was no way for, you know.
That should almost be like the layup game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think now what it is, if you do that inside of 2 minutes, then you get the 5 yards and the game clock resets
there you go.
Back to what it was.
Yeah.
So it negates the advantage that Dan Lanning and Oregon took advantage of there.
I don't have a problem with it as long as it's within the rules. I mean, it's just taking advantage.
It's like using the tax code to your advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's in the rules, use it as long as you can if you understand it.
Yeah.
Pretty witty.
Well enough, yeah.
Well, and he said they practiced, not that specific play, but he's like,
he wasn't going to say it.
We have a million different scenarios that never present themselves that we always prepare for. And he's like, that one just so happened to be, it was like, oh.
You got to know, though, that like Saban had that practiced.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby's got it practiced.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All these guys have done that. And Ryan Day, in the moment, they probably done it too. He's probably thinking, I'm about to get got.
Yeah.
Because all those guys do the same stuff.
When we practice cramping.
Yeah. 11 of those for Ole Miss a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Ohio State-Oregon game came down to a classic play there at the end.
Both those teams are in, by the way.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at their schedules.
Yeah, they're in for sure. Yeah. The question
probably
now
play
is,
again.
Yeah, if they're going to be, if it's going to be a rematch,
yeah.
And whether or not one of them's one of the first four.
Ohio State only has Penn State left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penn State might be in, too.
With their week schedule, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's look at the Bama-USC game. So I'm listening to this game on the radio coming through Birmingham on my way home last week, listening to this game. And, you know, I'm thinking there's no way, like, South Carolina's just not going to – they just don't have it in them to tie this game. And then all of a sudden they score the touchdown. I mean, it's like fourth and something, and they get a long completion, and then they score the touchdown. Then they go for two and don't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, it's over.
Yep.
And then they recover the own side, and Bama's able to end the game there with an interception on.
So the guy punted the own side.
It was a weird kick.
He
drop kicked it.
Yeah, so they hit the ground first.
And I'd forgotten that you have the option to kick it out of your hands if you want to on kickoff.
So we were at the Georgia game. We were tailgating, and so – we're all watching the game. Everybody's got phones out and TVs, and you're kind of watching. And when they miss a 2-point conversion, everybody's like, oh, that's it. And start walking towards the game because it's about 45, 35 minutes before Georgia kicks off. Well, then you hear like one tent, like erupts. And like, what's going on? So then everybody runs to another tailgate to look at like what's going on. And you see that they've got the onside kick. And now we got to all sit here and watch.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
So he took a sack on the next possession and it.
He ended up having to throw it up. He threw it up in the end zone and got it picked.
Yeah, and it was a weird like miscommunication between him and the wide receiver.
You're right. He got sacked. Like they were just trying to get to field goal range. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were on the plus side of the 50.
Yeah.
So you only needed about 15 yards. Takes a loss on the first play.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get maybe a few positive yards the next play, and then Bama's defense just said, "Well, heck, we're going to send everybody we can send." And then he ended up he throws it up in the end zone, and they intercept it. And then so it was like the old Keeley Ringo. You're right. The coaches were like, get down. And the Bama guy's still running. And I'm like, at the rate this game's going, he's going to fumble. We're going to be right back in the same situation.
Well, the reason they told him to run it out was because he intercepted it, and then his momentum carried him into the end zone. And had he taken a knee, this is just brilliant football IQ, but had he taken a knee, it would have been a safety.
And tied again.
Yeah.
Wow.
He would have basically given them the 2 points on the interception.
Right.
Either way, that was like high football. If that's a Florida State player, he's taking a knee in the end zone, no doubt about it. And then Florida State fans are going to be heartbroken again.
Yeah, teammates
were
like pulling him, like trying to get him from doing it. But then they wanted him to go down because they didn't want him to fumble.
Right.
It was a mess.
Dude, I'm looking at South Carolina's schedule. I think they're a pretty good team. They might not win but one more game.
Yeah, how many have they won so far? Four?
They're 4-2.
They beat Akron, they beat Kentucky, and they beat Old Dominion. So they're 3-4.
They'll upset somebody.
So they got Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Wofford, Clemson.
Oh, they got three more wins in there, for sure.
They beat Missouri.
They might beat Oklahoma.
Beat Oklahoma, maybe.
Oklahoma's got nothing.
They might beat Vandy. I mean, look.
They could.
Vandy, I think.
Vandy could lose by 30. They could
right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Vandy's just going to, you're not going to know what they're going to be week to week.
Yeah, and Vandy's going to show up and beat somebody again.
Yeah.
Like they're not supposed to.
I'm glad Georgia's not playing.
Not this year.
You're glad the SEC East is gone?
Yeah.
All right. So how about the big one? The one that you guys, I know, were part, I mean, Kyle, you were there.
Yeah. It was another one of those games where I never felt like Georgia was going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
It had a chance to go up, 41-10,
mm-hmm.
throw a pick, and basically in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess it was in the end zone. They come right back down and score, make it, 34-24. Now you got a game on your hands. I don't know. Offensive explosion, certainly. 459 yards from Carson Beck. Mm-hmm. One of the best games he's had as far as statistics go. Run game was still not great. But man, the defense gave up 309 yards passing.
Most of it in the second half, though, right?
Yeah. The first three drives, they can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they had like 12 yards.
The guy went from looking awful to like really finding some confidence.
Well, Brian, you text during the game, you're like, man, this Mississippi State O-line is trash.
Oh, I was reading about them all week. They're bad.
Yeah.
They have been.
And there was a drive, I don't remember when it was. There was a face mask penalty by Chas Chambliss that gives them a first down on a third down sack.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another, maybe a holding, defensive holding penalty that gives them another first down, and they end up scoring.
Yep.
And you're like, crap, we just gave them that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then they, through that drive, they found the momentum, and they come back and score again. It was just really weird.
The radio guys, the Georgia radio guys, were talking about how we were just resetting the line of scrimmage every play.
Yeah.
And it was like total domination except –
yeah,
the
and
of the
Georgia
play.
just couldn't get home mm-hmm. on the quarterback.
It was a problem.
Just couldn't get there for whatever reason.
I've said it all week on the radio, and I don't mean it as a slight, so don't take it this way, but my phrase this week for both Georgia and Bama has been welcome back. Like, this is what college football is for most teams, and that is you win the game. I say most teams, most pretty good teams. You win the game, but you're like, man, we got a problem with X, and that's going to get exposed over here. Georgia hadn't had that problem in 2 years.
No.
Like, three
and Bama
years.
Didn't have it when they were on their run either. That's just college football, I think, today.
Yeah.
NIL, transfer portal, parity. Well, we're finding some of a little bit of like the NFL competitive kind of.
Xavier Sories at Arkansas.
Right.
Starring.
Right.
And we could really use him.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You're finding some of that happening now. In college football, and fans of Georgia and fans of Alabama are just like, well, this is not.
Well, Bama also doesn't have Nick Saban on the sidelines anymore. And so you say what you want to about DeBoer. He may be great. He may win multiple championships. I have no idea. But he ain't Nick Saban.
No.
It's just like, I don't know who. You know, Arian Smith is not going to produce like Brock Bowers did or Ladd McConkey or somebody. I mean, he's just not that person.
Yeah.
And so This is the cyclical nature of college football, and it applies to all levels of football, right? So you might have a really good high school team that's been good for two or three years in a row, and they have to replace one or two key guys, and they may still be a championship caliber team, but they're not the dominant team.
Right, they're not going to run away with all of it like Georgia has the past couple of years.
Right.
Bama had. Florida State had their day doing that.
Sure, like every team goes through that. And like, you don't want to believe that when your team has been as good as Georgia's has the last couple of years. You want to believe that you're going to win seven out of the next 10 national championships. But that, I mean, that is almost impossible.
Well, Kirby told us that in camp.
Yeah.
Like, don't expect what you've been seeing. Like, this roster's young and it's, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah. I remind my Alabama family, the fans, I said, y'all have forgotten, like, Mike Price and the Shula years, like y'all forgot that existed.
Yeah.
You know, like 93.
I mean, just like Georgia's forgotten Jim Donnan, we've forgotten, you know, Ray Goff, we've forgotten later Mark Richt, we've forgotten these things. You could be right back there in a hurry.
Absolutely.
You know, and it live it up while you can. That's what I tell people, you know.
Well, these are the good old days
right now and enjoy it.
What is the quote from The Office? I wish we knew the good old days while we were still in them or something like that. I mean, that's what Georgia's in right now. And it's not to say that Georgia's not going to win a national championship this year or next year or the year after. They could win all three. But the odds of running roughshod through a schedule with, you know, just superior talent and depth.
Yeah.
Right? It's the depth thing, too.
That was the quote. Nick Saban talked about this. This has been several years ago. They beat somebody. It was in reference to the kind of what Georgia's going through right now. I think Bama beat somebody like 14-13 or 17-14. And he said, you know, I'm at the wrong place. Something to the effect of, I'm at the wrong place if people are not excited about winning anymore. Like, if we don't win by, it's all about, I'm only excited if we win by 20 or if we win by this or if we shut the other team out. He said, I'm at the wrong place. And this has been several years ago at Alabama. Kind of them kind of getting into their
dynasty. That was Arkansas game.
I think it was an Arkansas game. I think you're right.
Yep.
And you know, he comes out and he says that, and it kind of puts it in perspective. You know, there are a lot of teams who would love a 41-31 win against Mississippi State.
Well, especially when you're up by 1 point, three or four scores.
Yeah.
I mean, the game was in hand, like you said, right, the whole time.
That game control metric, it was – I never felt like Georgia was going to lose the game. But, man, I sure would have felt better if they looked better winning the game.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
All right, let's move from our review into our preview segment where we take a look at a few games of interest on the docket for this weekend. We'll start with Kentucky at Florida. Now, this is a game that Florida dominated for how many years in a row?
A long time.
Was it 25?
Yeah, until recently.
Until recently when Mark Stoops got the first win over Florida in however many years. Now, once again, here we are. Kentucky is a 1.5-point favorite on the road at Florida. Don't pick it yet because we're going to do that later. But here we go. Billy Napier, freshman quarterback, getting into the meat of their schedule from now through the end of the season where nothing's going to be a given and nothing has been a given for Florida yet this year. What do you think about this game? What are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, but both teams are 3-3. Both teams have one win in the conference. Neither one's going to probably challenge for the conference. Certainly Florida won't. I don't think Kentucky has offense to. Kentucky's defense, number three in total defense in the entire country.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good.
That's a soft schedule.
Maybe so. But, you know, I fear for DJ Lagway in this game. First start against a really good team. You know, they are at home, which is going to help him a little bit. It's just a tough spot for both of them. 1.5, that's a push.
I think this may be Billy Napier's last game.
I think they're just going to let him eat the losses the rest of the year.
I think so, too. That's my theory. I think they're just going to – because if you fire him now, of course
– you're going to pay him one way or another.
You do get a jump start on whoever else is going to fire their coach.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I think it's probably known amongst the agents, like, hey, I'm just letting this guy ride it out.
Yeah. I saw another theory recently about why they were going to let Billy – just take the losses. And I can't remember what it was, but it made a lot of sense. To me, it makes sense, with the only exception being that we now have a December signing day.
Yeah.
It used to be if you got fired after the season, signing day was in February, your new guy had 2 months to salvage the class or whatever. You don't have that anymore.
When the transfer portal opens like the same week, it's
– Could you hire – if you hired somebody now –
You got to fire somebody because you can only have so many coaches. Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Say they wanted to hire Urban Meyer. Could it happen midseason?
I mean, I guess I could hire him, but I mean, yeah.
He wouldn't coach.
Well, remember a few years ago, was it Luke Fickell coached Cincinnati in the bowl game?
Yeah, that's true.
After he was at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Maybe it was
that right?
Wherever he was.
Are you talking about after he took the Wisconsin job?
He coached Wisconsin in the bowl game after getting hired away from Cincinnati.
Same season.
Same season. You know, now it was a bowl game. It's a little bit different. Well, I guess you could.
You could hire an interim. I mean, we've seen that at Wisconsin with Barry Alvarez.
Yeah. I was more talking about the recruiting side. Maybe not on the field, but yeah. Hey, this is our coach. He's working behind the scenes.
Big thing is recruiting.
Would Billy keep working?
No, he'd be fired.
No, he'd have to fire him, I think.
Yeah.
You fire him, you promote an interim, and then you hire the coach you want.
Oh,
but I think
yeah.
it can only happen if it's somebody not in coaching.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if they want...
I think Meyer's high on the list.
If they want a Lane Kiffin or...
Man,
don't let him in the bars down there.
Not so long ago, Florida fans would have fought you about that because they hated the way he left.
Yeah.
Now, listen, as a Florida State fan, I don't want Jimbo Fisher back, but if we just knew that Mike Norvell was not the guy, and I'm not there yet, but if we just knew he was not the guy and they said, oh, by the way, Jimbo's got plenty of time these days and he's willing to come back. I mean, I think... And I just can't imagine that those bridges could be rebuilt, though, for Urban and Gainesville.
Two rings.
Jimbo's got one, and I don't know that the bridges could be rebuilt in Tallahassee. Yeah. With the fans, they could.
Yeah.
I just don't know that there's anybody outside of Urban Meyer that's out there, like, probably capable of of coming back and coaching at a high level and recruiting at a high level. Because you got Dan Mullen. He ain't going back there.
But what if it was like... I'll tell you the name that I don't know for sure would be interested, but he would be a home run hire, I think.
He doesn't coach right now?
He does coach. He's an offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Huh.
Chip Kelly.
Oh.
Now, he just got out of head coaching at UCLA.
But maybe that's because he knew UCLA was going to be awful
this year.
You got to think Dan Lanning is going to be at the top of the list, if it's not Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he's got a sweet gig out at
Yeah, Boy, I don't know if he'd leave.
If he didn't leave for Bama, he dang sure ain't leaving for Florida.
Yeah.
Did he get a legit Bama offer?
I would like to think so.
Nobody can
convince me that Kalen DeBoer was the first pick.
Yeah.
Y'all can take that and run with it if you want to. Yeah. That wasn't true. I do think Mike Norvell was number one.
There were three guys, I think.
You don't get a raise for nothing.
Yeah, there were three guys that were legitimate candidates at Bama. And I think it was Lanning, Norvell, and DeBoer. And it was like, all right, here's our offer. The first one to take it gets it.
Well, and you saw that. So Lanning got a raise, mm-hmm. personally.
So did Norvell.
And Phil Knight kicks in all kind of NIL money. Not that he wasn't doing it already. But, like, right after that, he's getting, I mean, just steady cash flow from Nike to get whatever recruits he wants.
Yeah.
But we all agree Billy's gone.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the only way to do it is to win out. And I said that last week. He had to beat Tennessee. Well, he's done. He's lost that game. So now he's got to beat LSU and Georgia.
They got to bye after this game.
Before Georgia, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With a freshman quarterback?
I could see that being the week they make a move.
Before Georgia?
Yeah, just.
I think it would depend on how bad the Kentucky game goes.
Sometimes an interim can spark them.
Sure.
That's the fear, though, right? You fear that this interim gets this momentum and wins some games, and you're like, well, we got to keep him.
Yeah.
Because we can't get anybody else. Nobody wants to come to Florida.
Well, if they're smart, I mean, they can see through. And, of course, we're talking about Florida's administration here. I mean, Scott Strickland has not had.
No, I think he's on the hot seat, too.
Yeah, I mean, he has
It might
made,
be both of them gone.
He was big time at Mississippi State, wasn't he? Had a good. Well, now we can work him.
Yeah, I think he.
He hired Dan Mullen at Mississippi State and then hired him again at Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. All right, so how about. Let's look at. We don't have to spend much time on this, but I just want to point out. I pointed out last week before, or actually it would have been 2 weeks ago when I pointed it out, that Miami was traveling to Cal, and it was their first road trip outside the state of Florida, and Miami's in the top 10. They're undefeated. They're ranked number 6. They go out there and come from behind 25 points to win the game, 39-38, right? They're on the road this week at Louisville. Louisville's 4-2. Louisville has played everybody close so far. And Miami's got Florida State next week. So is this the week that Miami finally stumbles enough to lose a game?
I don't know. Miami's given up 30 points the last two games. Should have lost against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. They had the overturned touchdown in the end zone. Then they probably should have lost to Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Cal's played one heck of a schedule.
Well, welcome to the ACC, baby. It just means more. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Cal. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Cal is playing, I want to say they got to come back east this week, like come all the way back.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, something they, like that.
So Cam Ward is going to have, I mean, had an off week going into the Louisville game. So they, but I think Cam Ward's got to have a huge game. I don't see it out of their defense right now. Not giving up 30 plus points in the last two games against teams that you really probably shouldn't do that against.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just keeping an eye on that Miami at Louisville game. I'm also keeping an eye on tomorrow night's game. Now, this game will actually have already been played by the time this airs on Saturday morning on the Flint Media family of radio stations. But Florida State, 1-5, looking for win number 2 on the road at Duke, who's 5-1. Florida State's never lost to Duke. This is like the Kentucky-Florida thing. They've never lost to Duke. Starting a true freshman or redshirt freshman quarterback in Brock Glenn. Also starting a couple of freshmen on the offensive line now. They've replaced a couple of both guards with either freshman or redshirt freshman. Landon Thomas, South Georgia guy. It is the full-on youth movement on offense. Let me just ask the question this way. Does Florida State scored 89 points so far this season in 6 games.
Wow.
That's less than 15 points per game. Does Florida State score more than 15 points on the road Friday night versus Duke?
I think so.
It's about what they're giving up per game.
I think they get more than 15. What did we say earlier today? If they get 24, 25, they probably win.
Right.
Looks like Duke's been winning with defense.
Yeah, Duke's got a pretty good defense. They send the house a lot. I think it's one of those, you know.
Yeah, pretty cool thing here locally. Cam Clark, who was the defensive coordinator at Central, Thomas County Central last year here locally, is on staff at Duke this year as a off-field kind of analyst role on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, Hutto Middle School grad.
Yeah, he's a Bo Bamberge boy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Cam Clark and I went to middle school together. And, yeah, he was defense coordinator on that state championship win.
Yeah, he was.
Thomas County Central team. Yeah. Like you said, off the field up at Duke.
Yeah.
Manny Diaz now, the head coach at Duke.
So you have some defensive guys. Manny Diaz, I mean, he was a coordinator at Texas, defensive coordinator at Miami.
And he does bring the heat.
And he loves to rush the passer. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Florida State, I think Brock Glenn really showed some things in that game as a freshman versus Clemson 2 weeks ago. I think he impressed Mike Norvell because Mike Norvell made the comment later like, yeah, man, he ripped it, and we haven't seen that in practice. And we're talking about a pretty good Clemson defense that he's playing against. And I think if Florida State's receivers can catch the ball and if somehow they can find any semblance of a running game, then I think Florida State can score mid-20s, which sounds so funny to say. And if they do, I think they win.
You know, I think Norvell's got to somehow convince them, like, guys, we're 1-5. Who the heck cares?
Yeah.
Just go out there and
sling it, baby.
I mean, if you throw a pick, we're 1-5.
Yeah.
If you score a touchdown, we're 1-5. Like, it doesn't matter. We're 1-5.
Yeah.
Right? Play out these next 6 games or 5 games or whatever with all you got. Yeah, I mean, heck, even say it. Maybe somebody will pick you up.
Yeah. Hey, at this point,
we might not want you, but maybe somebody will pick you up.
Listen, the possibility still exists that Florida State can go to a bowl game. It's not out of the realm yet, right? So mathematically, and we still play Miami, we still play Notre Dame. You know, there's still some tough games for Florida State.
But you have a way to salvage the season.
If they get to a bowl game after starting 1-5.
Yeah.
You think some of those older guys are checking out? Mentally.
I think if they do, though, let them check out and put the guys in there that want to play.
I think that's part of the reason why they've gone youth movement on the offense. I mean, besides the fact that they weren't scoring anyway. But just, I mean, hey, just put him in there. Why not put the freshman wide receiver in there? The five-star.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, at this point, what's the point of redshirting him?
Yeah.
Also, just a quick little note, it's possible that we see 2 quarterbacks from Florida State Friday night, both freshmen, one of them a redshirt, one of them a true freshman, Luke Crumenhook, who was a top 50 recruit. Out of the Savannah area. Mike Norvell said that the plan was to get him into the game versus Clemson, but Brock Glenn played well enough that they didn't feel like they needed that. So we'll see what happens there.
Plus one for name pronunciation there.
Was he a BC guy? The high school over there?
Yeah, Benedictine.
Benedictine.
Oh, yeah.
Military school.
Yeah, I think they won the state championship. Yeah. Maybe twice. I think they won two of them.
I think he's a good baseball player. I think he was too.
Yeah. He's probably one of those guys that can also play the guitar and
shoot the three. Yeah, yeah, he can do it all.
Great ping pong player.
Yeah, yeah.
Sings in the church band.
Yeah, everybody hates him. Also, the big one this week, Georgia at Texas. Don't pick it yet. Texas, a 5-point favorite, according to ESPN today. Mm. Thoughts on that?
And I go back and forth on that one.
Man, I have gone down the statistics rabbit hole.
I have too. I've studied
this week. Man, I
didn't know Bond was there.
Yeah, he's hurt. He's hurt. Questionable. Questionable today. Now, I think these are playing out like NFL. Like, it's questionable. That joker's going to play. Oh, yeah. But no, just about who Texas has played. Yeah. All right. Just quick here on some stats. So, Texas's opponents, average total defense. So, that takes into account all defensive statistics. Their average opponent, 76th.
Okay.
In the country, out of 133. So, midway, yeah. Right? The highest-ranked defense they've played is Michigan. That was early in the year. Michigan does have a good defense, all right? They're 44th. Georgia's highest-ranked defense they've played is Kentucky at third.
Total yards?
Total defense, just in general. Scoring defense, all of it comes into play here. But the average that Georgia has faced is 27th in the country. You've got Kentucky on the list. You've got Bama. You've got Clemson. Who are top 50. I mean, Clemson's a top 10 defense, all right? On offense, so total offense, similar thing. Who has Texas's defense faced? On average, 100th ranked total offense in the country, right? The highest ranked offense they faced is UTSA at 67th.
Oh, wow.
Now, Texas is ranked first in total defense in the country.
They
can't play themselves, right? 67th. 78th, Mississippi State, Colorado State was 86th. Michigan, Oklahoma, and ULM were all ranked outside the top 120.
Wow.
So they played some bad teams. Georgia, interestingly enough, is also ranked 27th. Like, they have their 27th ranked in total offense. So this will be the highest ranked total defense team that Texas has played and the highest ranked total offense team that Texas has played all year long. By leaps and
this
bounds.
Will be the best team they're going to play.
Yeah, the best team they're going to play.
Personnel wise, I mean, this is probably for both teams.
Yeah,
right.
Now, flip side that, Georgia, the average total defense that they've played is 58th, the highest being Kentucky. The average total offense they've played is 54th. That the highest other ranked is Clemson, and Clemson wasn't good on offense when Georgia played them, so it kind of threw that out the window. Now. Georgia also played Tennessee Tech, but I didn't include that in my analysis. Yeah, but the best team that either team has faced at this point, I think we're gonna see.
I think it's gonna come down to matchups. I mean, it's gonna be like Texas's offensive line versus Georgia's defensive line, Georgia's offensive line versus Texas's defensive. You know, those matchups are what I think is gonna determine the game, and of course, turnovers.
Yeah, that'll be big. Georgia, I think it helps Georgia. They've been on the road. They've been in a hostile environment, and it's going to sound weird, but at Kentucky at night, that was a big game for Kentucky at the time, right? Georgia's ranked number one, night game, tough. They've been Alabama, obviously,
at night.
So they've got some experience in that realm, and I think that will pay dividends.
And played a big game against Clemson.
Yeah. I mean, that'll pay some dividends for the Dogs going to Texas this week.
Yeah. Man, it's hard to envision going in there and winning for me right now.
Kyle said the first podcast of the year that if he had to pick one to lose, you lose that one and then beat him in the SEC championship game.
Yeah. I won't pick it yet.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to overrated, underrated. All right. Kyle, who you got? Who's overrated?
Overrated. I still got Penn State. I know they beat USC, but USC's not a good team.
Mm.
I mean, they're ranked third, y'all.
Yeah, that's
Penn
wild.
State is ranked third.
Didn't their tight end catch like 17 balls?
I didn't watch that game.
It was something crazy.
Yeah, but I'm just not buying Penn State.
I'm really not.
I also have Michigan. Why is Michigan still ranked? They're ranked 24th. Can we swap them and Vandy?
Name recognition.
They play Illinois this week. Illinois is ranked 22nd.
Yeah.
One of those two teams
is going out.
Will no longer be in the top 25. What about you, Brian?
Overrated. I got Tennessee on the overrated list.
Too.
I mean, I don't know.
Are they ranked now?
11th.
Yeah. Mm. I think they're going to fall out of there. Also, probably Bama.
They're at 8, right? They're at 8?
Yeah, I think they got serious problems on defense. I really do.
I question, honestly, I don't mean that their coaching staff is a bad coaching staff. I don't know if their coaching staff has what it takes to overcome the deficiencies like Nick Saban's staff would have done or did and has done.
I think their staff lacks the respect of the team. Mm. When you have the GOAT on the sideline,
mm-hmm.
you trust every single hire that he makes, mm-hmm. right? By proxy, everybody on that team to those players is the best at their position, right? Because they're playing for Nick Saban mm-hmm. or working for Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I don't know that they necessarily, and maybe they will eventually. I don't know that they necessarily trust, like, have that full trust in Kalen DeBoer. In the back of their mind, that Malachi Moore, I talked about him last week. He's played for Nick Saban for a little while, right? He's played for his coordinators. In the back of his mind, he's thinking, well, this ain't how we used to do it.
Is he the one that was
He's the one that went nuts.
Yeah.
He's also the one that convinced the dude that intercepted the ball and backed into the end zone to run it out.
He's a good player. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, in the back of those types of players' minds, they're thinking, well, this ain't how Coach Saban would have done it.
Yeah. Well, Saban's critique of the team was that he wasn't sold on – he knew what he left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, when the safety left, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, bare bones back there.
Yeah.
I've got Miami overrated. We'll see if that – I mean, maybe that's just the hater in me being a Florida State fan. I've also got Tennessee overrated. In my underrated category, I actually have four teams. I'll just run through them really quick. I think LSU's a little bit underrated. Now, they're ranked 8th right now, but I think, like, national perception of LSU is that – maybe Brian Kelly.
They had that loss to USC at the beginning of the year, which hurting them.
Right. If they won that game, how are we talking about USC?
They're probably third, like Penn State.
I've also got a couple of teams in the teens. BYU is 6-0 on the season, and nobody's really talking about them. Not saying they're a national championship contender, but they're 6-0. They're leading their conference right now. Same thing with Indiana. I mean, Indiana's. I get it.
I had them underrated a few weeks ago too.
Yeah. I didn't realize he bought so many dudes from JMU.
I didn't either.
Oh yeah, like so. James Madison, that's the coach.
Yeah, they've been pretty good the last.
He bought a bunch of guys.
Yeah,
with him. So that's
easy. You say ball or bro?
Same. Interchangeable.
I've also got Pitt underrated. Pitt 6-0. They're sitting at number 20 in the country. And again, like Pitt's one of those teams that is probably not going to win a national championship, but they did win an ACC championship just a couple of years ago. Had a first round draft pick at quarterback,
Pat Narduzzi. He's a character.
Pitt's had a lot of dudes through the years.
Yeah, they had Aaron Donald 1 year. Like just
yeah,
you know, another local flair. Last year's tight end from the state championship winning team, Thomas Kane Central, is on the team there at Pitt, starting on special teams. Malachi Thomas. Really cool. It's cool to kind of see him succeeding and the team doing the same.
Who do you have as underrated?
Texas A&M.
Okay.
Yeah. I think and I was looking at their schedule, just from a schedule standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
They don't stand near the gauntlet that some of the others do.
Aren't they unbeaten in conference
play? They got Texas left. I think they have Arkansas left.
Arkansas and Texas, all they have left.
That's the only two that really stand out.
I had A&M, and I also had Vandy.
It's fair. I mean, with what their quarterback is doing right now.
Yeah. Now, I think they'll drop out. Mm-hmm. I think Vandy will regress to the mean eventually. And they're going to come back to who they are eventually. You beat Kentucky and you beat Bama back-to-back weeks. That's pretty sporty for a Vandy team.
I think there's a culture change undergoing there, too. Yeah. They're tough, man.
Yeah.
They believe.
Just like their coach.
Yeah. Clark Lee's a Vandy guy. Like. Mm-hmm.
Former defensive coordinator at Notre Dame.
I think they've given him the right. I mean, they just said, hey, you got as much time as you need. You got as much resources as you need. Mm-hmm. Do what you need to do. I want to point out one thing. Y'all weren't here last week. I had Army and Navy both underrated, and I asked for the AP voters to rank them. Guys, they must listen.
They did.
They've got to listen.
They're tuned in.
Because they're both ranked.
We have listeners all over the country. We had downloads in Los Angeles and Chicago.
The AP
New York.
Is listening. To the Southern Football Report, guaranteed.
100%. All right, let's move on to our picks section real quick before we get to upset alert and our top 12. So our first game, Florida State at Duke. Duke is a 3-point favorite. This is a Friday night game. By the time this plays on Saturday morning, we'll know the answer. So we'll start with you, Kyle. Who do you got?
Give me the Noles. Give me the Noles and 3 points. I don't think the streak ends this week. I think they continue their winning streak against Duke. Give me Florida State.
Brian Howell.
I'm going to go with Duke.
Brian keeps taking the teams that Florida State's playing, and he's in first place in the picks, by the way.
Give me Duke, and I think I'm going to take Duke to cover.
Wow.
To win and cover.
Win and cover.
Yeah, see, I'm believing that Florida State's going to turn it around at some point this season. I just don't see this being a three-loss team at the end of the year. Could be, a three-win team at the end of the year. But I believe it changes this. Florida State's coming off of a bye.
Yeah.
They've made a decision at quarterback. I'm going with Florida State. All right, Miami 4.5-point favor at Louisville.
Miami struggled the last 2 weeks, like I said, on defense. I think they get it figured out after a bye week on defense. They give a bunch of points still. I think they come out. Cam Ward has a big game. Miami covering 4.5.
Brian?
I'm going to go with Louisville to get the outright win.
I'm taking Louisville, too. Again, that could be the Florida State hater or the Florida State Miami hater in me. I'm kind of hating Florida State right now, too. All right, South Carolina at Oklahoma. It's a weird game, man. A 1.5-point spread in a road trip to Norman, Oklahoma for a South Carolina team that just got their hearts broken, really, versus Alabama. Who you got, Brian?
South Carolina. Beamer guy here.
Okay.
They're going to win outright.
Kyle?
I got Carolina. Oklahoma has no offensive weapons. Zero.
I'm taking
their best guy's hurt, right?
The best, like all five receivers are hurt.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking Oklahoma mainly because I'm expecting South Carolina to be in letdown mode after the game versus Bama.
Yeah. You think that Oklahoma rebounds after a 3-point production against Texas?
I think that's just, you know, playing Texas, man. I think Texas is good. I don't know that that's representative of who Oklahoma is as much as I think it is
more of Texas, who Texas is.
Texas is.
Yeah.
All right.
Wasn't that a hard fought game for a quarter and a half?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like
briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. 7-3.
I think Quinn Ewers' first three drives, he had like 12 yards passing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a pick.
And it was his first game back, right?
First game back. Yeah.
Yeah. Kentucky at Florida. Kentucky's a 1.5-point favorite. I'm taking Kentucky. Kyle, who you got?
I got Kentucky. Brock Vandegrift, he's still a dog at heart. Hates the Gators.
Kentucky.
Got Kentucky.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Georgia at Texas. Texas is a 5-point favorite. You got to pick it.
All right, Brian, who you got? I'll let you go first.
Oh, man. I hate to do it, but I can't see Georgia winning.
Brian Howell's taking Texas.
I hate to do it. Let's say Georgia covers.
Oh, so you're taking Georgia to cover.
So you're
it's going to be a close,
under a narrow loss.
Okay, narrow so loss. Then I'm putting you down as Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle?
I'm the other way, guys. I was wrong at Bama. I was wrong for Auburn. I'm not going to be wrong a third time. Dogs by 9.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Nice.
I think their tough schedule, having been battle-tested, is going to pay off right here in this game.
Home field advantage is my deal.
Home field advantage is big. But if you think, so what do they say? Home field advantage is worth 6 to 8 points, right?
Yeah.
I saw it at 3.5. I've seen it at 4. I've seen it at 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's saying if home field's worth a touchdown, that's saying on a neutral field, it's a push.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But it's not.
But I mean, you look at talent discrepancy. You look at the stuff I just talked about earlier. Like, I think there's something in there. And I know that people have questioned Kirby some this year. He had the incident last week that we hadn't even got into yet. But, like, I still just trust him more.
I feel you.
I trust anybody else.
I trust Kirby more than I do Sark, or really pretty much anybody else. But it's not because I don't trust Sark. It's because Kirby's got 2 rings. And,
right.
You know, however many more he won as a coordinator at Alabama. But
yeah.
I'm taking Texas. This just makes sense to me.
Yeah.
If you take away, you know, what Georgia was the last 3 years and what Texas was the last 3 years, and you just compare these two teams, you know, Carson Beck had a great game against Mississippi State, but he's still not, you know, Georgia fans still aren't in love with him. Georgia's got issues in the secondary. I don't know if somebody's going to step up. And Georgia doesn't play well on the road.
Not in the West.
Not early either. We got to have a whole game. The Dogs got to play all 4 quarters.
I would not be surprised if it's 21-0 early.
I'd be shocked because they just did it against Bama. I don't know that. I don't know. I think they're going to rally the troops early. I think they're going to have to put it all hands on deck.
I don't know.
Dogs by nine.
I do think we fight.
Dogs by nine. Let's go.
I think I don't know, man. I just think Texas is going to win the game. Now, the rematch always favors the loser of the first one. I don't want to mess up. You know,
I don't think if Georgia loses this game, there ain't no rematch.
It's must win.
It's a must win for the Dogs.
Well, after this, it's must win if we lose it.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the way to the end.
Yeah. Now, when I say must, if the Dogs lose this game, any chance of going to the SEC Championship is gone.
You think so?
Well, you think Bama's going to lose three? You think Texas A&M's going to lose two?
Yeah. I guess that's a good point.
I mean, the tiebreaker's big.
I mean, having lost to Bama,
the head-to-head comes before
it's going to come before anything else. And so you think Bama's going to lose two more?
I'm trying to wrap my head around this one conference thing.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it was easy to figure out who's winning the East and who's winning the West. Yeah.
All right, who you got on upset alert?
We're not going to pick Bama, Tennessee.
We can if you want to. I didn't put it on here. What's the spread?
I had it on your Bama minus three.
Bama minus three at Tennessee.
Yeah, you sent six earlier today.
Oh, did I? Yeah. I didn't write
it down. You're trying to catch up. That's what you're trying to tell the game.
I'm sorry. No, let's pick it. I got it now. Bama minus three at Tennessee. Who you got, Brian?
Tennessee in a defensive struggle.
Ooh.
Well, there's one more.
One more what?
Bama loss.
Yeah. I take Bama in that game.
At Tennessee. I think Rocky Top's going to be.
Did y'all hear that creepy Rocky Top last week?
Mm-mm.
It was like they call it the Halloween Rocky Top. It was like a creepy kid voice. Mm. It was weird.
I'm taking Bama.
I'm Bama.
All right, upset alert.
I got LSU on upset alert.
Ooh, at Arkansas. Mm.
At Arkansas.
Embrace the hog.
I love my guy. I love my guy.
I do too.
He's the best.
They had a week off last week. They have, they came off the high of beating Tennessee. They're going to get their second top 10 win in two games.
Okay. I like it. I love me some Sam Pittman. I want him to be in the deer camp. Let's take Sam Pittman.
We should try to get Sam Pittman down to Thomasville.
Oh, man.
He'd love it here.
He would be a star. All right. Brian, you got anybody on upset alert?
Oh, man.
I'm putting Miami on upset alert.
That's a good one.
Miami at Louisville.
Texas, how about that?
There you go.
Even though I picked against Georgia, I'll put him on.
I like it. All right, let's move on to our top 12. Who wants to go first?
I just text you mine.
Okay. All right. Brian's got to get to football practice. So
undefeated Waffle House All-Stars.
All-Stars, baby. Yeah. Hey, enjoyed it, fellas.
Thanks,
see ya,
man.
All right, man.
All right. Let's move on to our top 12 presented by Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic. Kyle, give me your top 12.
All right. Top 12. 12 to 1 here. I've got Boise State, number 12, highest ranked group of five. Alabama coming in SEC at large pick there. Texas A&M LSU winner. Is my number 10.
Okay.
Whoever wins that game in a couple weeks, provided that they take care of business elsewhere, that's your number 10 team. BYU is a Big 12 runner-up at number 9. Penn State, because of their weak schedule, at 8. Miami, the ACC runner-up at 7. Texas, SEC runner-up. Dawg's going to beat them twice at number 6. Oregon, Big 10 runner-up. I don't think they'll beat Ohio State on a neutral field at 5. Iowa State, Big 12 champ. At 4, Clemson, ACC champ at 3. Ohio State, Big Ten champ at 2. And if the Dogs beat Texas twice, you got to give them number 1.
Our lists are very similar once again. I've got Boise State at 12. And right now, that's because of their running back.
Yeah, that guy's got he's on pace to break the NCAA single-season rushing record.
Although I will say that Travis Hunter had a good quote about that this week when they asked about why the Boise State running back should be a Heisman front runner in front of Travis Hunter.
He's played every game, so that's why I'll give it to him.
He said, he's got 95 carries. If I had 95 catches, how many yards would I have?
Yeah, but he doesn't because he doesn't play every game.
Well, that's true, but he does play both ways. Yeah. I've got Boise State at 12. I've got Notre Dame. I've still got them in there at 11. I think even if Notre Dame loses one more, there'll be a two-loss team. You can put them in at 11. They're Notre Dame.
I tossed that one back and forth a little bit. I couldn't do it because, these things are recorded and you can go back and you can listen. And I said Notre Dame's not going to make it, so I couldn't put them in. But I went back and forth on Notre Dame and Alabama there at 11.
All right. I've got Miami as the ACC runner-up at 10. I think Miami's going to lose a regular season game. Then I think they're going to lose in the ACC championship game. So there'll be a two-loss team. There'll be one spot behind another probably two-loss team, and Penn State. I've got Penn State at number 9. At number 8, and I think this can, I think you can flip-flop these two teams depending on who wins the head-to-head, okay? So I've got Bama at 8,
mm-hmm.
LSU at 7.
So kind of the same thing I had, Texas A&M, LSU.
Yep.
The winner of that game is...
Yep. I've got LSU. They play November 7th.
Yep.
I'm taking LSU to win that one. The committee will say, well, we can't put Bama ahead of LSU because they beat them head-to-head. So I've got Bama at 8, LSU at 7. I've got Oregon at 6 as your Big Ten runner-up, losing the rematch to Ohio State. I've got Georgia at 5. Now, you convinced me a few minutes ago that Georgia might not get a rematch with Texas.
I don't think they will.
But if Georgia's two losses this year are to Texas and Alabama.
On the road.
Both playoff teams. And Georgia, let's just say LSU and Bama both end up with, say, 2-3 losses. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work, but I've got Georgia at 5 currently. Now, I think you could probably flip-flop number 3 and 4 for seeding purposes.
Yeah, but matchup purposes too.
Yeah, I've got Clemson at 4, Iowa State at 3. You can flip-flop those if you want to. Both, I think, are on pace to be their conference champ. And I really like Iowa State. Who is it? Matt Campbell.
Yeah.
At Iowa State. I've been pulling for them for a couple of years. At number 2, your Big Ten champ, Ohio State. And then at number 1, I've got Texas as the 1. But here's my prediction today. If Texas goes in as the 1, they get upset somewhere along the way in the playoff.
Hmm.
I don't think.
They would play the winner. So they would play.
They'd play
You had Georgia at 5.
Yep.
And so they could play Georgia again.
Right.
Maybe that's your matchup. Maybe that's your rematch, not the SEC championship.
Georgia's going to play the 12 if they're the 5. They're going to beat that team. And so they're going to play the number 1 team. If they're rematched with Texas, give me Georgia in the rematch. I don't see Texas going all the way.
You know, I read something interesting this week. It was from a Georgia guy. Obviously, he was predicting a loss against Texas. And kind of like Brian said, it's a must-win situation. You got to win out, right? And this is kind of playing the both sides of the card. Like, loser gets the spoils kind of deal. But is it better for Georgia to win this game, rematch against Texas, and take your second loss in a 13th game,
mm-hmm.
or go ahead and lose it, have your two losses against Texas and Alabama.
Don't play the 13th game.
Don't play that 13th game. Get a home game against,
Boise State
of some kind, right? Or even if it's against a Penn
Navy.
State.
Yeah.
Or Penn State, Miami, somebody else, right? Get a game at home against somebody like that. You have one less game to play. Now, obviously, he's hedging. This guy that wrote this article is hedging his bet because he said, oh, well, if we lose, we'll still be all right.
That's also the Notre Dame argument because they don't have the conference championship game.
Right.
Yeah. Brian Howell's got his top 12 goes Boise State at 12, Indiana at 11, Texas A&M at 10, BYU at 9, Miami 8, Bama 7, Clemson 6, Iowa State 5, and this is a little bit of Brian Howell conference love because he's got Texas and Georgia as the 1, as the 3 and the 4.
He's got a power ranking, right?
Yeah, and then Ohio State at 2, Oregon at 1. I think his is probably power ranking right now.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps it up. Another episode of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. You can catch this podcast anywhere you enjoy your podcast, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon. It's available on all of your favorite podcast apps. It's also available on the Flint Media family of radio stations on Saturday mornings before all of the action gets started. Thank you so very much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week when we see how we did. We'll see you then. Rivertown Running is now open in downtown Bainbridge, Southwest Georgia's newest running and athletic shoe store, with brands you know like Brooks, Features, Mizuno, New Balance, and more. And Rivertown Running is a local Lululemon retailer. That's right, don't go out of town, shop local for your favorites. Rivertown Running is also your local pickleball headquarters.
So whatever you need, they can get you moving. Rivertown Running, 214 East Water Street, Suite 3 in downtown Bainbridge. Now open.